coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Monday, October 10th, 2022. A lot to talk about, a lot of things to get into. I'm going to be very quick. Of course, we saw over the last several days an escalation, of course, in Ukraine with Russia, Ukraine. That's an entire series of programs by itself, from the Maidan Revolution back in 2014 to the present day. The Obama-Biden regime, their hands in that, even the Bush, George W. Bush's hands in that whole setup of what's taking place today, along with, of course, Victoria Nuland. Now, or this weekend, right before he left for his Delaware home, the resident potato Biden says, you know, we're closer to Armageddon than the Cuban Missile Crisis. Really? Have you seen that clip, folks? I'm not going to find the clip. I'm not going to play it. But interesting choice of words. Meanwhile, the German consulate was hit in a wave of Russian strikes across Ukraine, according to reports. Russia fires missiles across Ukraine, targeting critical infrastructure. Putin claims retaliation for acts of terrorism. We've seen this war ramping up. Now, this is a nuclear situation developing. And Steve Quayle from last Friday, in case you missed him, Steve Quayle was on with Alex Jones. I want to play this stream of consciousness. It's roughly 2 minutes. This from InfoWars, when Steve just went off and pretty much stated how he thought everything is and was and is and will be. I thought it was a pretty good, very cohesive and very comprehensive statement. So we can play that. Eric the Tech, by the way, it's Monday. Eric the Tech, are you feeling any better?
A little bit.
Yeah. He was sick as a sick dog. Don, sick as a dog, a very sick dog, but he's coming back. So it's a good thing. All right. Here's Steve Quayle, Infowars.com with Alex Jones last Friday. Here it is.
I'm most concerned about a false flag that is going to be blamed on the Russians, but also, Alex, with the removal of the children and the women and mothers and children, obviously babies and stuff, out of the four rejoined to the Russia, we'll call them former parts of Russia, I believe there is going to be a very serious nuclear or hyperbaric weapon demonstration. I think that the vilification of President Putin is off the charts. You watched it happen, ladies and gentlemen, Donald Trump. And the globalists are the ones that are doing their best to put Russia and the United States at war. And Lucifer himself wants the war. He wants the maximum amount of death. He doesn't care who does it. He just wants to make sure it gets done. So when Zelensky said, and he's backtracking it right now, that the United States needs, he was inferring, to attack Russia with nuclear weapons. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to pay $17 a gallon for gas? 17 bucks a gallon. Are you willing to go without heat? Are you willing? And $70 billion, actually it's more than that, $100 billion now, that has gone into the Ukraine, and 80% of it, Alex, is going out the back doors of the Ukraine. All the weapons we're giving them, is they're going out on the black market. Now, obviously, they're using some of them. But ladies and gentlemen, please understand, when we attacked the Nord Stream pipeline, that was a direct act of war. When we are having our liquid natural gas tankers going across selling U.S. LNG at more expensive prices than the Russians were, I want everyone to understand that if somebody loves their country and they're a nationalist and they want to protect their people, I can tell you this. It's interesting to me, and this is really critical. Russia has an active civil defense. They are able to shield their population. They are able to shield their manufacturing. They are on a wartime footing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And ladies and gentlemen, we're running out of, quote, all of our weapons, and some of the generals have warned about it. You're watching the internal destruction of the United States, a communist takeover and takedown, and the finishing touch is going to be a nuclear launch, strategic weapons against the United States. Now, I believe that God can do anything, but unfortunately, remember this, the very party that's pushing nuclear war made war on God. They said God has no place on our platform. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you history records nations with that attitude as disappearing from off the earth. And I think that people better realize it, Alex. We're not on a multi-month countdown, in my opinion, okay? I pray I'm wrong. We are on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day, threat level that is increasing beyond anybody's ability to grasp and apply it. Now, they can grasp it, but apply it to your life. And I'm calling it the day everything you've known before is gone forever. Okay? It's not just the day the dollar.
And Klaus Schwab has been saying, get ready for that. You'll own nothing. You'll have nothing. You won't live in cities. You'll live in communes. I mean, they are doing this.
All right, folks. I would urge you to watch the entire interview at InfoWars, at bandit.video, InfoWars.com, but bandit.video. The link will be in the program description box. But that was that stream of consciousness from Steve Quayle, and you heard him on Thursday talking about the essentially the same issues. So I'm looking at this as a spiritual war, and I think that this is bigger than anyone really imagines. The time period in which we live, the people involved. You know, we've grown up. I think, at least in my case, because I'm 35 now. I'm pretty old, but I've grown up, you know, with a duck and cover. Hey, this is there's a nuclear threat. Now the threat is exponentially worse and real. But the issue that does not get covered enough, I believe, is the fact that this is a spiritual in nature. So I've got somebody with me. Hang on, before I introduce him, I've got somebody with me that you folks who watch regularly know, just back from South Africa, on an international, dealing with international affairs. I may be getting in that in a second, but I want you to see what the, what we allegedly traded off. We allegedly traded Donald Trump for this. This is pretty hard to watch. Now, you heard about, of course, the nuclear threat. You heard about the war, obviously, in Ukraine. You know about that. You know about all of the acts of terrorism. You know how things are ramping up, how things are getting worse in the cities here in the United States. Here is the guy now, the resident in chief, allegedly, who's, you know, flying off to Delaware. 90% of his, not 90%. I think he's spent 152 days on vacation during this 18 months or however long he's been in office. But I want you to watch 19, 20 months, whatever. I want you to watch this just for a minute and understand this is who now is in charge. This is the guy who's got his fingers on the nuclear codes. Watch this. To keep me in line, okay, grabs me by the hand for the radio listeners. I don't want you to be listening to this music. Biden essentially wandering around like an Alzheimer's patient. And I don't mean to disparage anyone with that disease, but take a look at who is supposedly in charge of things. Is this God's judgment upon us? I'm asking that as a question. Is this God saying, you know what? We'll give you what you want. We'll give you what you wish for. This is one of my favorite clips, by the way, where he's walking to the West Wing. And believe it or not, I've been back there. It's not that hard. Anyway, you get the idea, right? This goes on and on and on and on and on and on. He looks like a little lost puppy 90% of the time. And of course, Schumer and the people that cover for him are in the screen as well. Now, of course, he's attempting to orient himself on stage, which is happening more and more. So 25th Amendment time, I believe, is coming. There it is. And the link to that, if you really, really want it, will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on Rumble and on Brighteon. That's HagmanReport.com. Also, the brouhaha behind PayPal. Got some information on that coming up. So understand that we are not going to be subjugated to or use the platforms of the enemy. Okay, just not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent. And the other thing as well, as we get into certain things, I'm going to leave that for another day, except to say this. I watched a video on YouTube, okay, which I know, shame on me, but I watched a video on YouTube of this conservative podcaster advising her guest to modify his language so she did not get banned from the YouTube. For example, could not say vaccine and had to use another word for vaccine. Couldn't say, there were a few other instances. And I'm thinking to myself, if I have to play that game, I'm not going to play that game. Because first of all, this is not a game. All right, I'm going to get off my ranting horse now. All right, with me is a gentleman who, again, just back from South Africa. He travels internationally. He's got an organization that addresses a number of things on the international scale. And he understands that this is a spiritual war. He is the man behind the organization, SaveThem.org. And if I could show you his scorecard of saves, you would be impressed, but I can't. I'm not allowed to, obviously, because these people have been trafficked. They've been untold thing. I mean, I cannot get into what has happened to these women, these children, these individuals who are victims of trafficking, who are victims of abuse. It makes the cartels at times look like Boy Scout troops. I am telling you. This man deserves a lot of credit. In studio with me are two individuals. One from, obviously, Landon from SaveThem.org is with me, but also with me is a gentleman that I'm going to be bringing out next week on the anniversary to commemorate. Well, how can I put this? To honor Russ Dizdar and his efforts, I've got some news. And I'm going to hold off on the news. But on the 17th, next Monday, a week from today, you're going to see somebody that is going to lay out what, just to show you what everything that Russ has done up to this point is going to be continued and how it's going to be continued. So I'm very excited about that. But in the meantime, enough waiting. Landon from SaveThem.org. Landon, thank you so much for joining me. You saw what's going on. So wherever you want to start, please start. Sure. Help me out.
All right.
Sure. Save me. You know that I've been a little off my game today. So yeah.
I don't usually save people as old as you. Yeah. But I'll make an exception today.
Assist me. How's that?
I'll assist you.
There you go.
Well, I think maybe for people who haven't
yes.
heard of us or know what we do, save them. We're a counter-trafficking operation. We've been running since about 2014. Grew up in South Africa. We do a lot of work out there and expanded into transatlantic counter-trafficking. We primarily work with victims and their healing process, everything from rescue to reintegration. And then we also help the authorities to kind of crack the nut to break down networks and help undo the enemy. And then over the years, we branched into the world of the occult side of things. And that's, I got to know Russ and his team and started working with them as well. They taught us so much. And so we're increasingly busy with that aspect, do a lot of work helping SRA DID victims. We have a team that does that. So that's kind of what we do. But we are a Christian mission organization, mm-hmm. and we are there to shine the light of Jesus Christ into some pretty dark places, and we try our best.
You know, again, folks, the link will be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. But I'm going to thank Landon and also Luke, who's in studio with me. Again, he's going to be we're going to be talking about next week, but talking about the organization of Russ's. But in your organization, you know, I opened up the show with the Ukrainian Russian U.S. and NATO Ukraine versus Russia and everything that goes with it. This is such a spiritual war, and I think people are just not seeing the bigger picture behind all of this. Now, with what you do, okay, because I believe human trafficking, and especially the blood of the children, is the currency of the elite.
Yeah,
and I think that Ukraine is a hotspot for trafficking. I think it's a hotspot for a lot of things, including money laundering. So there's an overlap between today's headlines and what you do.
Yeah.
Okay. And folks, I would urge everyone, please look at me in the eyes. Okay. The slits in my eyes. I shouldn't say slits because.
Please don't.
Yeah, never mind. I'm going to try to open my eyes a little bit wider. But look at my eyes. I consider it a favor. If you have the means, you please support these people, these groups who are out there doing what they do. I know Landon personally. I know what he's doing and what he's done. And if I told you what he's done, you wouldn't believe me anyway. But please support them. Go to savethem.org and donate generously or generate something, okay, among your church group and among your friends. But please help them. But, okay, so, Landon, you know, the spiritual aspect of what we're seeing right now is so underspoken, understated. I don't even know if you want to address that. And then thank you for really setting up what you do and how you kind of came into the fold. Because there are so many people out there who talk about this kind of stuff, but they don't know diddly about it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And it's, if you don't pay attention to the big picture of pretty much any issue, counter trafficking might be one, global conflict might be another, the moral degradation of our school systems. They're all similar issues. They're all spiritual at their root and they're manifesting in the carnal. And we tend to engage in symptom management. You know, we're trying to maybe just save my high school or something. You know, like I just saw other day a post where a guy was ripping into this this new Disney program, which is all about the occult.
Hocus Pocus or whatever it is?
It's I forget what it's called, but the girl is the daughter of the Antichrist.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay.
My bad, I'm sorry. No,
I forget what it's called, but... The point was that they are putting occult rituals into Disney programming, and it's a headline cast. It's Danny DeVito. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's all these guys are making a cartoon about occult rituals, and they're glorifying it. And here's the deal. And here's the classic work of the enemy. They're broadcasting it overseas, but they're not going to broadcast it here. What that does is it keeps the American Christian population, who's probably the most vocal Christian population online in the world, silent. Because the thing is, as long as it's not happening here, well, then we won't bother. We won't bother. Well, we're good. It's not being shown here. But the fact that it's being shown in Australia should bother us. The fact that it's being shown in Britain, New Zealand, whatever, South Africa, should bother us a lot.
Wow. Okay. I did not realize that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So okay. And that's a spiritual war. Right. Going for the souls of children, happening all over the world. We can't just be concerned with whether or not we're good and safe and comfortable. But by the same token, I want to flip it over. We can get so lost in global politics.
Yes.
That we ignore our responsibilities as husbands, wives, to the shepherding of our children, in our role in our local community, just shed the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ into downtown Cleveland or wherever we live, because we spend all of our time worrying about what's happening 6 trillion miles away.
Yep.
You know, I heard somebody the other day say, how is it that we're going to send all these billions of dollars to a faraway land, but we're not really going to bother to send the billions to Florida when, you know, Fort Myers was wiped out?
Yep.
It's pretty crazy. So I just think the Christian needs to be discerning as to the big picture of what's happening, but never lose track of what's right in front of us, because the Lord works through us as hands and feet, not just our worries and fears and things that keep us distracted. Yeah.
Thank you for saying that, because, you know, and in addition, I think that a lot of Christians are, I'm guilty of this myself, of paying more attention to the wiles of the World Economic Forum, the playbooks of the satanic elite, in my view, like Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates, and not enough time in Scripture, in the Word. And, yeah. You know,
it's the work of the enemy to keep the Christians so distracted on things where they absolutely cannot affect change.
Right.
Instead of the Christian focusing on where we can affect change. You know, last month I did a 3-week tech fast where I just shut off my cell phone for 3 weeks. This is after I got back from South Africa. I took the next 3 weeks and just shut off.
Good.
And I spent time in the Word. I read commentaries, but I spent most of my time with my kids and my wife.
Okay.
And that brought so much fruit and health and wellness and just emotional healing. Cause when you do what we do, you go through a lot of emotional stress.
Right.
And you will burn out all the time if you don't recoup. And it was, I was kind of led, I guess that's the Holy Spirit telling me just shut off for a bit. And it was the most amazing 3 weeks, I have to be honest. Not that they shouldn't watch Hagman every day of the week, but I'm just saying there's a time and place for quiet.
I'll tell you, shut me off too. And I mean that seriously. If you are not doing that as a husband, or if you're not doing that as a wife, or if you're not doing that as a parent or parents, you need to do that, because the balance is important. And because you can burn out on, I've noticed this too. They want to keep you in fear. When I say they, whether it's the media or, you know, the people in charge of things that, they're behind the people who are supposedly in charge. It's all about fear.
Yeah, that's Satan's play.
Yeah,
that's definitely Satan's play. And, you know, I heard that now they want to test all Americans between the ages of like 18 and 64 for anxiety, right? So that they can start, I heard on some interview. But why would they do that? Well, actually, there are high levels of anxiety because people are so stressed out all the time. And when you're constantly reinforcing the fear, you know, hill or whatever, you won't never shut off the fear hose. You're going to overflow with it, and you're just going to be unhealthy. You're going to be worried. You're not going to pay attention to life. It's going to pass you by.
Yeah. You know, folks, I've known Landon for a while, and I could tell you this. Okay, what he's saying is true. Okay, the anxiety that headlines cause, or that you actually can cause yourself, is extremely, it's not good. And we have to balance things out. So please do that. Even if you have to shut off Hagman for a while, but no, you're exactly right. I think that you're correct. Now, in the bigger picture of things,
okay,
let's talk about that. We are facing times like we've never faced before.
Yeah.
Now, and I'll just say this because I think this relates. Have you seen, or ask you this, have you seen a marked increase in the bad stuff you deal with on a daily basis, the trafficking, the is there any correlation between that and the evil that's ramping up in the world?
I think the thing we've noticed the most would be the explicitness of evil to portray itself into the public. So if we flip the script, the darkness is coming into the light.
Ah.
All right. And it is brazen. So when you talk about the gates of hell have been opened and the darkness is issuing forth, it's trying to penetrate the light. And we see it everywhere. You see it. In fact, I had a thought experiment the other day. I wondered, why do I see so many people with tattoos all of a sudden the past couple of years?
Thank you.
They're just
Explain
everywhere.
That to me.
It's just Explain everywhere. That. And I couldn't figure out for the longest time why that would be. But then it occurred to me now that the tattoo kind of movement or fad, and like not all tattoos are horrible things, but I'm talking about ugly tattoos. And I think you know what I'm saying.
Yep.
The percentage of ugly tattoos has skyrocketed in the past 4-6 years. Well, that's a cycle of people who have gone through the university system where that was a fad and whatnot. And they've all graduated now and they're in the workplace and we're just seeing it in public discourse. You're seeing it at Panera. You're seeing it at Citibank. You're seeing just all of this tattooing, which is a visual. It's people showing their outward thoughts and ideas and identity and all that. But what used to be maybe a heart with grandma on it is now a snake and a skull with blood dripping off the fangs. And that is new. That is different. We haven't seen that level of explicit evil in our lifetimes. It's a new tsunami. And I see it everywhere I go, by the way. That is not American. That is global.
Okay, so you see that in South Africa, see that in Europe, you see that in
everywhere.
Okay, everywhere.
Everywhere.
And to me, that's more symptomatic of, like you said, of a generation, I think it's generational, that has been, how would you put it, has been indoctrinated, I suppose, and then attempting to show the world what they stand for?
Yeah, so when all things are relative, then no benchmarks exist.
Okay? Good point. Good statement.
And our benchmark for all of Western civilization has been the Word of God and the standards of righteousness and the character of God. So if we turn our back on that, well, now our standards are the chaos of man and the unrighteousness of man. Those are our standards, but you're not allowed to judge anything in the standards of man. Anything goes, and rightfully so.
True.
Okay, because only the Lord can judge. Okay, so.
Well, you can make judgments.
Make a judgment.
Right.
But you can't judge, not in their code.
Got it.
Not in their code. So you can acknowledge, but you can't place judgment on the content because the content's relative. What does it matter?
That's okay. I got that.
It's like being an atheist. It's like, well, what does it matter if something's right or wrong? Or why does it matter if I even exist if existence is relative and there's no point? It's a circular argument.
In a lot of, when you say that last sentence again,
if existence is relative and there's no point to my existence,
right?
Then what does anything matter? Anything.
So that goes directly or is tied directly with the taking God out of schools, like Steve talked about, taking God out of the
we've convinced children that nothing matters, including themselves.
Right.
Which makes them prey to Satan. So it makes the runaways more complicit in being drawn into the drug trade because they have no self-value, no self-worth. I saw this when I lived in South Africa. In the early 2000s, when crime was so rampant in Johannesburg and people were shooting each other over an orange. I mean, I saw this, street vendors shooting each other over an orange. I saw in kind of the mid-2000s where people were shooting each other over a cell phone. There was no value associated with life any further. Well, if that happens, then there's only chaos, and that's the work of Satan. So everything right now in the world, like you're saying, what's the big picture? It's chaos. Generate chaos. And I think Steve alluded to that in his InfoWars thing.
Absolutely.
Satan just wants the blood. He doesn't care how it gets spilled. Just wants the chaos.
And folks, if you listen to that or watch that video, and I know Steve on Thursday spoke about it here, but specifically the video with Steve and Alex Jones, that you're absolutely right. They don't care about where that or how that chaos originates. And apply that to civil war. Apply that to a revolution, potential revolution here in the United States. It doesn't matter. It's just as long as there's chaos and bloodshed associated with that, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. And I think you were in my spirit kind of reconciled with you is amazing when you were talking earlier, because the exact thing you said was the exact thing I was thinking, which is that as we watch the Biden clip, we're watching the judgment of America.
Yes.
And we've been given what we want. We want somebody who will be a puppet that will just let us do whatever we want.
Okay, now you've got to save me from savethem.org. Now you got to save me because save me from the comments and the emails saying, well, wait a second, I don't want that. I'm a Christian. I don't want that.
Yeah, but hello, we as a society have lost sight of the collective.
Ah.
Yeah. We're so wrapped up in the individual. We're so wrapped up in our own pandemic of narcissism that we have lost sight of the fact that we are part of a collective. And when that collective doesn't swing our way, we're still part of that collective.
Now, you're not speaking in a socialistic or socialism.
I'm speaking in terms of we are part of a nation state.
There you go. Almost tribalism, yeah. If you will.
Yeah. I mean, our nation state will continue to exist if the population can stay cohesive enough to sustain itself, but if the perspectives and values are so separated, the nations split because there's no cohesion, that there's nothing left. If you can't ever compromise on anything, then you're no longer a common collective. So a common collective would be an American state that says, you know what, there's a bad war in Europe, we need to all go help, and we're all going to pitch in, right?
Right.
That was a generation ago.
Yes.
And today it's, you know, on Wednesday, the people that say that we should do things that we know are bad for us are the same people on Friday that tell us that we should go to war in a place that doesn't make sense. And on the first thing, we didn't trust them. But on the second thing, we're going to decide to go ahead. Meanwhile, it's the same people telling you the same narratives from their own framework. So why are we choosing to believe things that we want to believe instead of having a consistent set of discernment?
I agree with that.
I read an
article about that, and as it applied to the what I'll call the scandemic, and the more appropriately the fix for that versus, I mean, that was okay. You've got to follow these guidelines. Trust these people. Yet over here, don't trust these people, or flip that. It depends on which side you're on. But there's inconsistency.
There's inconsistency in truth.
In truth. There you go. Yeah.
It's inconsistency in truth. And in my own personal journey, a big turning point was, and I won't go into the whole story, but there was a point in my life where I realized that I my identity was not American. It was Christian.
There you go.
And that's when I kind of woke up to the fact that there is truth that transcends national identity, but I wasn't raised that way. I grew up in Texas. You know, I was like, you know, like Texas first, American second, right? But a strong second, right? So, and when I realized, wait, I have more in relationship with a persecuted, imprisoned Christian in China than most of the people in my neighborhood in small town USA, I realized, oh, wait, I need to be playing on Christ's team regardless of what truths I want to pursue, because it's only his truth that matters. And that's what we have to be applying to this. Like, you know, Steve alluded to the vilification of Putin.
Right.
We're not putting balanced lenses on our discussion. We're willing to take whatever people tell us to believe and we just do it. But you know what? When Putin calls America satanic.
Yeah.
Well, he's right. Because American values that are being espoused overseas, we're the number one producer of pornography in the world.
An exporter of the same.
An exporter. Yep. We are pushing a moral code that is anti-biblical. Well, something that's anti-biblical is satanic.
Very much, yes.
So America's satanic. He's correct.
Yeah, yeah. And it does not require, by the way, the man to be a pillar of the community to be correct in his statements.
Yeah, okay. It's obvious.
Right.
He's stating the obvious. We just don't like the obvious. Now, can we get riled up about it and tell all of our friends and family that the thing I saw online really made me angry and whatever? Well, I don't know that achieves anything. But what you can do is in your local community, get involved in things that push back against it.
And hold it right there, because, and folks, you've seen this, and I've been getting reports all weekend. In fact, three individuals I know were arrested over the past week, roughly, for doing just exactly that. And the reason they were arrested and charged with things related to terrorism kind of stuff is because what you said works. Mm-hmm. And they can't have what works. You can't. Oh, no. If that works, man, they got to put a stop to that. So you're exactly right.
If the wave of pushback is too great.
Yeah. Okay?
And I'm talking, when I'm saying pushback, I'm just saying people saying, no, we don't support that here. You know, parents need to have decisions for their children, not the local public school. There's nothing wrong with that. That's my perspective. That's my biblical requirement. God's law doesn't change just because my culture is swaying one way or the other.
True.
I have a requirement to the Lord to parent my children. And it doesn't really matter what's going on. And you know, the other thing that's become, has been front and center in my mind recently is I think about the early church. And, you know, they were in Rome and they were burning Christians
yes.
as lampposts. That's a pretty horrible place to be. Well, they didn't stop being Christians in that environment. You know, I thought about Bonhoeffer.
Oh, yes.
Facing the ultimate punishment for standing up in Nazi Germany. There are Christians in horrible places. They still have to be Christian. They have to stand by God's law no matter what. And we have to do the same.
But doing so, okay, just so I'm clear, because I know, in fact, last week we were talking about Dietrich Bonhoeffer and a good friend, David M. from New England. That's all, as far as I'll get, David, so don't worry. Ask for that quote again. And from Bonhoeffer, what was it? Now I forgot the quote. Doing nothing. Being silent in the face of evil is evil itself. And that, I butchered that quote, but you get what I mean. So not doing anything when in the face of evil itself is evil. And I get that. And that's coming from a man who paid the ultimate price for his faith and conviction and works at the time.
Yeah.
And this is what we have to do. This is what we have to do.
Yeah, so... You know, to your original question about kind of the macro level and the spiritual war, it applies to everything, absolutely everything. And ultimately, we just got to be obedient. And in our work, it's just pursuing the leads where they take us.
And I do, for those watching this online or if you're listening to this online, is a picture of the Bonhoeffer quote, silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Thank you, Eric the Tech. These are the famous words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a Lutheran pastor who was killed by the Nazis for resisting the regime. Now, he was not the first man of God, by the way, trying to point out this profound truth to a deaf generation. And do you feel like we're talking to a deaf generation here in the West, in the United States specifically?
Absolutely. And let me add a little second part to that. Okay. Judgment begins with the church.
There you go.
The church is in the United States and in most Western countries is so silent on everything. And the Lord is going to judge the church accountably.
You know, I thought of
accordingly,
you.
Accordingly, sorry.
I got that. But I thought of you, and you were in South Africa at the time, I believe. And I thought of our guest next week, Luke, and again, more coming on that, folks. You're not going to want to miss what's coming. And I thought of your organization. When I saw these drag shows being held in Texas at various places, at Katy, Texas, actually, there was a church that held a drag show. And then there was some other drag shows supposedly meant for children, okay, where children were there giving, you know, pushing dollar bills up the, I'm not going to get graphic, but you get the idea, which is totally sick. And I'm thinking to myself, man, you know, and the police not doing anything. The very thing that, how would I best put this, that really, I mean, you fight against this, not the drag queen shows, but you fight against the
I guess I haven't told you about that part yet.
He's laughing over here.
I'm just kidding.
And you're right. I mean, but the evil nature, the spirit behind this, the evil spirits behind this, man, I'm telling you.
No, and as you're talking, I'm reminded of a book I was reading, where a Christian commentator was really talking through the difference between the visible and the invisible church.
Yes.
And this is historically, this goes way back to the early church fathers, where they did delineate between the visible and the invisible church early on.
Okay.
That there was always going to be a visible church which called itself Christian, and within that would be a subset of true believers. And that is the invisible church. And what we find today is that the invisible church is popping up across all these different denominations, all these different environments. There are true believers. I believe there really are true believers that come to the Lord and find themselves in Joel Osteen's church going, oh, goodness. Mm. Because they're awakened, because they're a true believer, because the Holy Spirit then reveals truth to the believer, that they then are convicted to make a decision. Do I try to fight from the inside? Am I going to change this thing for truth? Or do I need to pursue a different, more Bible-believing church environment? That's happening everywhere. Everywhere.
Are we, how can I ask this? Are we winning in that respect? I'm not even sure that's...
Define winning.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because then, that's, wow, okay. Are we making, as Christians, where are we as Christians in the West? I'm specifically now in the West. Where are we as Christians? Are we making, are we realizing the problem and then setting out to make a difference? Or are we more laid back and, it's just go to church once a week, maybe on Wednesday for the potluck and for the Bible study, and that's it.
I would encourage everybody to read the letters to the churches in Revelation. Okay, and every single one of those letters applies to some part of the church as we know it. And two things. Number one, the lukewarmness, where the Lord says, it would be better that you are hot or cold than to be lukewarm.
Right.
He would rather that you would be a hate-filled occultist than to call yourself a Christian checking the box on Sunday.
There you go.
Think about that and pray about it. Because that is a dangerous place to be. And when you knock on that door and he says, I never knew you, and you say, but I did all the things. I went to church. I called your name. And he says, sorry, I didn't know you. You don't want to be, I think it's Matthew 27, you don't want to be a Matthew 27 Christian. I hope that's the right. Well, you folks, don't you want to be that Christian.
Yeah.
So spend time with the Lord. and come in line with his will in your life. That is the most important thing, so that you are hot. You definitely don't want to be cold.
Right.
You definitely don't want to be lukewarm. So that's a very important
piece. Can you be hot? And this is something that a couple of people have, we've talked about this past weekend. Can you be hot as a Christian? I mean, when I say hot, I'm talking about righteously angry enough to go out there and say, okay, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of my children being assaulted by these perverts. I've had enough of this indoctrination. Can you be righteously angry and still be, I guess by your definition, or by what you just said, we need to be righteously angry.
Yeah. And remember that the Holy Spirit operates throughout the entire church.
Right.
So the problem is, a lot of times we try to answer that question through our cultural lens, which is, you know, we as Americans, we want to, you know, Second Amendment, we're going to defend our rights. Well, okay, but now what if you are a Christian in New Zealand where everything's been confiscated, but you're still righteously angry? What do you do?
Then you sharpen up the sticks. I mean, I don't know.
So the Holy Spirit is consistent across his body.
Okay.
He's not inconsistent. So he won't tell one part of the church to go around blowing up buildings or something and tell the other part of the church to just sit down and take it. The Holy Spirit's consistent in the character of God. So if there's injustice, we have to stand against it. We have to stand against it peacefully, because that's also in the character of God. Peace is in the character of God. We are to be peacemakers.
Okay.
And we're also to stand against injustice.
Right.
Right. So we have to execute all the aspects of the character of God at the same time. We can't pick and choose which ones we want to do.
When does God say, okay, do what you got to do? And I don't mean to be, I don't want that to sound blasphemous, but I mean, when does God say enough? Okay. When does God approve of us taking the role of a warrior? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, given that neither of us here are deep theologians, I do think that because we have the Holy Spirit, we understand with clarity what the response to that is. And the response to that is that the Lord will fight our battles for us.
There you go.
We have to trust that the Lord will fight our battles. I can be very unhappy as an individual and affect zero change in the world around me.
And many of us are there.
But the Lord can come in and bring down our financial system to break the back of a corrupt, evil entity so that his version might be rebirthed. Do you see that?
Yeah.
He would do that. He would do something like that. He will equip Gideon's army to scare away a massive army. But we couldn't come up with that in and of ourselves. We just have to be obedient to the light in front of our feet and have confidence that as Gideon's army, the Lord wins always.
And think about that, folks. Isn't that what we touched upon much of that last week? Not in that realm. Lady the studio dog there snoring a little bit. But we spoke about that, and it's interesting how God can take down, for example, a corrupt economic system.
God brought down the Roman Empire.
Exactly.
Through 12 people.
12 people.
Actually through one, but through 12.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, okay. All right. So, all right. Wow, man. Folks, my guest, and I am so honored to have this man. What I meant to say was Landon, I've known Landon for some time. I know what he's done, and I know the difference he has made in this corrupt world and the people. There are so many people who are so better off because of this man and his organization. His organization is SaveThem.org. That's SaveThem.org. Please visit that website, SaveThem.org. Understand that he has been He's gotten his hands dirty. He's been down there, down and dirty, getting, you know, doing the work that's necessary to save them. And on the screen there, I love that picture and the fact that we can save them. And he has done just that. Again, landandsavethem.org. Please bookmark the website, as well as make sure you support them, because they are doing, seriously, they are doing God's work. And there's an area there where you can financially enable the mission. And you know what, folks? I got to tell you this. We are all in a fight right now, an economic fight. We're trying to keep food on our table, keep the gas in the car, the lights on. And I know that every dollar that you make is important to you, but it's also important to keep these organizations going. This is one that I believe in, Landon from SaveThem.org. Okay, Landon, take us wherever you want to take us. We've got about 10 minutes left.
Sure, yeah. So we're very thankful for anybody who helps support the mission. And you know, PayPal shows up on our website there, and it's something that's caused us a lot of heartburn.
Yeah.
And we're busy transitioning onto a different giving platform.
As we are, yes.
Yeah, but and what I would say is PayPal's still on our website because that's what we have right now, and it takes time to change these things.
Yes, it does.
I've had people tell me, sorry, we can't give to the mission because I don't like PayPal. What I would say to you is, that's great, but please, and we agree with your position, please don't make the people we're trying to help not get helped because of your position.
Boy, that happens a lot in different circumstances.
And although I agree with what you're saying, and we are busy changing,
yep,
the wheels of finances move slowly.
Yeah.
So I would just say don't hesitate helping the kids we're trying to help just because you don't like PayPal. And that's all I would say on that. The other thing I would ask is, I would ask people to pray for the people of South Africa. You know, Steve Quill, often I've heard him say that so goes South Africa, so goes the world.
Yes.
And he's right on this. It's like South Africa is some kind of UN playground where they just test things out and they try things. I mean, I had to put my thumbprint on my bank account in South Africa from like the early 2000s.
Uh-huh.
They tested everything. This is even before we were doing it in Afghanistan. You know, I was like, wait, when I went to Afghanistan, we're thumbprinting there, but that's what I was doing at my bank in South Africa. It's like, whoa, what's going on here? This kind of stuff happens in South Africa, and South Africa is teetering on the edge of collapse because their power grid situation is so dire. They have not maintained their power grid since the mid-90s.
Mm.
Satan loves chaos. If that grid trips, South Africa will devolve into chaos.
Wow.
And Satan loves nothing more.
Right.
So please pray for the people of South Africa that they will have calm, and also that the leadership and that the government of South Africa will finally step up and help keep that population safe. Because guess what? People that we try to rescue and stuff, who mm-hmm. are kind of locked up in rooms and things, when the power goes out and the traffickers take off, the kids stay in the cages.
That's right.
And the lights are off. There's no water, no food. And those kids die to death. They die to death. They die in captivity.
Right.
Nobody wins there. Okay. So it is going to be horrific if that grid trips. So pray for South Africa for sure.
You know, to me, that there's this, or when I speak to people or listen to people talk about South Africa, there's always this mystique about South Africa, you know, where it stands and what they've been through. You mentioned something, though. It's like the testing ground for the globalists.
Now, the U.S. administration was telling the South African government they need to go green and abandon coal.
Right.
This is at the same time when the grid's about to trip.
Right.
If they abandon coal right now, they're going to give up 16 gigawatts of power.
Okay.
The whole country will be purged into blackness.
My goodness.
Darkness, sorry. They will have no power. They can't. And the only plans they have on the books is to bring approximately 2 gigawatts of power on through renewables. They can't make up the other 14 gigs. But our administration wants them to live on ideology and to go for this green communist revolution thing. No, It's not that's going to kill people.
But that's, I mean, that's obviously not limited to South Africa, but it's, isn't it interesting how the entire globe is going that way? The entire, all the countries are on the same page with this climate, this new climate BS.
Here's the Trojan. Here's the Trojan horse on global depopulation. Okay. It's actually not the energy. It's the water.
It's the water. And that's what Steve Quayle was saying.
It's the water, because when electricity is out, okay, you're in darkness, you can't use your cell phone. But a couple of days later, the central pumping stations from the water plant shut down and everybody's thirsty. I don't know if you remember when Katrina hit. Oh. What were people fighting about in New Orleans while they waited for help?
Oh, water. Yep.
Water is the Trojan horse. And so we can't let that go down.
There was plenty of water. You just couldn't drink it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
But no, you're exactly right. So, and Steve talked about the water wars, and so have we. Here in the U.S. and all across the West. Wow, you've said so much. Folks, again, Landon from SaveThem.org, please do me a favor, bookmark that website and follow what they're doing. I'm just so pleased to have Landon on with me again, back from South Africa and international travels. If you only knew the stuff that he and his organization have done, it's phenomenal. The real deal. And I support you as best I can. And I know that this platform supports you, and I want everyone else to support you. We've got about 3 minutes left. You take the last 3 minutes.
Okay, cool. Last parting thing. People often ask us, what can we do about the human trafficking trade?
Right.
I'm a lady in a neighborhood somewhere. What can I do? What people don't realize is that a lot of the stuff we do is not dealing with the Hollywood kind of, you know, big crime syndicate. Yeah, we do deal with that. It's right out there, but it's the majority of the stuff that we deal with are things like illegal adoption rings. We just busted one up last month while I was there. Illegal adoption rings. That is happening through families, usually drug addicted, who are birthing babies and selling them. That happens.
They actually have the babies for the purpose of selling them.
Correct.
Okay.
And they sell them into illegal adoption networks. Why? Because the system has made it so expensive and so impossible to adopt a baby that people buy babies off the black market just because they want to adopt a child. That happens all over the world. That happens in your neighborhood and my neighborhood. And that is something that if somebody sees that happening, they must report it into the local authorities that children are being birthed for sale. It's everywhere. Everywhere.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, that is not quite, but it relates to the documentary Border Crisis by Epic TV. Epic TV did this, this documentary on the border crisis, where this one woman would show up on a weekly basis with not her children, but children that supposedly are hers. Okay. But you know, 50 weeks out of the 50 weeks in a year. But in this case, what you're saying is this is for the purpose of essentially ultimately trafficking these children.
Yeah. It's selling a human being.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. That is absolutely amazing. Folks, I want to tell you, I am again so honored to have Landon from SaveThem.org with me. You have no idea what they do, how they do it. I mean, the blood, the sweat, the tears behind them. And next week, next Monday, have this planned out. Luke is going to be with me. And that is the 1 year that marks 1 year that Russ has left us. And Russ did a lot of great stuff. And Landon from Save Them, of course, part of Russ's team, and autonomous, but also part of Russ's team, and still part of Russ's team. So I want to thank him, and I want to thank Luke, who'll be with me next Monday. You've got to tune into that and tell everyone. And please tell everyone about this episode, and subscribe to us on Rumble and on Brighteon, and bookmark HagmanReport.com as you bookmark SaveThem.org. May God bless you. May God bless this nation. And when you hit your knees tonight, repent. Ask God for forgiveness and guidance. Have a good night.